The MTG Podcast is a virtual space for women and men in the tech and creative industries.
Tune in as we put it all on the table, sharing authentic life truths as we sustain and empower each other in search of our tribe.
We're more than a designer. We're more than our name badge. We're more than the work we produce.
Welcome to the More Than Graphics Podcast.
We're that tribe. Welcome to the More Than Graphics Podcast. It's a safe place for women in tech. Women creatives. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Priscilla.
And the two of us, minus one more, we're missing one more. The two of us is actually this crazy, amazing, dynamic trio that just kind of makes this magic happen around the space. When we talk about being a community that's for women of color, that's for people of color in these tech and creative spaces, for and about women, like y'all, it's women. We're celebrating women, all the things. So I just kind of want to dig in a little bit, kind of get updates on some things. Anything new happening with you, Priscilla?
Not since we last talked, other than recovering from my neck surgery.
All right. That's an adventure all by itself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I did. You know what? I started to paint by numbers.
Hey.
Ken, I'm going to show it to you real quick. Look at this. You guys are going to be blown away, right? So this is what it was supposed to look. That's what it looked like. And that's what it looks like.
Oh, very nice. Paint by numbers.
I can't look down. So I have to do any art thing. I have to be up there.
Well, this is a perfect segue to kind of go straight into our guest, who is nowhere near painting by numbers. She's painting by memory. She's painting by colors, emotions, all the things.
I know.
So I'm really, really excited to have fine artist, painter, and amazing creative, Sydney Swisher. Sydney, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. And that paint by numbers was gorgeous. It looked just like the original.
I know. It's hard to tell.
I'm surprised because, like, no, it comes to stuff like that and people are like, oh, but like, you're so much. I struggle with like detail stuff like that. I struggle with taking my time, which I feel like surprises people. But I'm like, yeah. No, you might be better at paint by numbers than me, if I'm being honest. I think I'd give up and go rogue. So
I think we have a virtual party coming up.
Hey,
right? Let's have a paint by numbers party.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we could totally do it. Yeah, totally do it. Oh my gosh, I love this.
Okay, so virtual ugly sweater party.
Hashtag ugly sweater party. We could do paint by numbers ugly sweaters. There you go. You can
just paint an ugly sweater.
I'm just gonna leave you in that dar in that place. But Sydney, we're so excited that you're here. First off, for those who do not know, I need you to go to your browser right now and literally type in Syd Swisher, okay? Like SYDSWISHER. I need you to go to her Instagram. I need you to go to her TikTok, follow her in her link tree, all the things, because the art is artin', okay? Because it's real. I absolutely fell in love with this years ago when I came across your page. I was really just in a crafting mood. So I'm a little bit more of an advanced crafter. And so I do a lot of like theatrical things. And people are like, oh, your little thing is so cute. And I'm like, look at this three-story thing that I just built. And that just comes from me having that technical background and technical theater background and just knowing how to scale. But when I see intricate work like yours that come across my feed, it doesn't make me think more technical. It actually is soothing and calming and kind of gives me all these range of warm emotions. And so that's really what I wanted to kind of address here in this theme of nostalgia. So this is the part where I'm just like, the future meets the now with the present of the past. Like, I don't know, that's like some Doctor Strange stuff, but I just really am amazed by the level of artwork and the way that you're able to emote memories and emote things that make us feel. So yeah, I just wanted to like tip my hat. I'm fangirling clearly because I was just like, oh my gosh, she's really on my show. Like, she's here. She's real. Pinch me.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's so sweet. I don't even know how to respond to that because that is so kind. So thank you. But oh my gosh, I told you, I was like, you're gonna have to stop me rambling because you just said so much that I'm like, let's go Doctor Strange, because there's so she just said that I'm like, yes, you get it. I'm just like, you get it. You get what I'm going for. I'm so excited to dive into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so to kind of kick things off, as we talk about, you know, nostalgia, can you share with us a time when you had to grow up or out of something, and then what did that teach you?
You know, I feel like that's going on right now for me. Like, there's been other times in my life that, like, that's happened, but I feel like right now, the past couple years of my life have been a big just like self-reflection of myself, a big hard look at like my values, what I'm interested, I guess, like, you know, approaching on the 30s, what do I want out of life moving forward? And it's a lot, it's interesting to recognize that and then start understanding like, oh, this takes work. This takes conscious effort every day to try to better yourself, to try to like keep an idea in mind of like who you want to be. And honestly, I feel like I'm just trudging through that right now in this moment.
Okay. So in that moment, like, is there anything that's really been helpful to you, like while you're going through it? Like, is there like a sense of comfort? Maybe there's a product or even like a practice that you're kind of in the rhythm of doing.
Like painting has been a really big part of that. So like, honestly, I always did, like, I was always interested in art, always interested in drawing and stuff, but I didn't oil paint until about 3 years ago. And if I'm being honest, like, I was also always very self-conscious about my, like, painting and drawing. And then I kind of just, like, took that as, like, almost a self-care, like, let's sit down and, like, just take the time to do it almost as, like, a meditation, almost as a way to just like focus your mind into this one specific thing. So, I mean, it wraps into the whole conversation, but truly painting has been something that's really helped get my thoughts out, get my like experience. And it's really nice just to force yourself to sit down and do it. It's one of those things that's like, I want to tell everybody, just sit down and just try, give yourself an hour and almost force yourself to do it.
I am like, okay, so I grew up with Bob Ross, right? So talk about nostalgia. I grew up with that type of, you know, monkey see, monkey do kind of feel, where he's doing a swish a certain way and I'm kind of mastering the swish the way he's doing it a certain way. And so dry brush painting, that type of style, has really kind of left its mark on me. But now I also feel like when I see the way that you paint, it is with such a different level of I guess detail and intuition and intentionality. I'm really inspired by the things that you pick. Are you picking these specifically from your memories? Are these scapes coming from that, or are they dreams? Are you seeing something specifically that you want to imitate?
Here's where I might ramble. Okay. I'm so ready to just dive into nostalgia, what it means, and like what it means right now. We're at such a weird time right now with this whole like tech crossover. So yeah, we're going to get into maybe like not horribly controversial territory, but my scenes are like used with AI. So I'm pretty much taking like images and like film pictures from my childhood, and I'm working with Midjourney to create places. And this started because essentially I did have memories from my childhood, and I specifically wanted some situations. They were at like my great grandparents' farmhouse, which does not exist anymore. So I was essentially like trying to draw from memory, and I went to Midjourney. I don't know if you've used Midjourney, but through trying to like type out the prompts and get that place, I was so surprised by like how close some of the scenes looked, but they're off. It's not the right place, but it still evokes this feeling of like, I feel like I've been there before. Like, I feel it. It's recognizable, and it got my prompt correctly. And but something's off. And so I feel like I kind of like merge them together in Photoshop. I feed actual places from my childhood if I find like a good film photo. And then I kind of like merge together with AI this scene that is not a real place. And I wasn't sure about doing that at first. Another thing that, if I'm being honest, I'm a big fan of like Todd Hedo and Gregory Crudson photography.
Yes.
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 Oh, talk about like nostalgic settings.
Yes.
So a big fan of them. I did photography for years. And so what I would do for years is what they drive around, look for a setting, take a picture. So what a few of my paintings were actual places. I feel creepy painting a place that's like not my house. And maybe I didn't, you know what I mean? I don't know the person sure. that evokes this whole like, oh, it's such a feeling it's that those places give you. So I moved to using Midjourney, and like I felt conflicted about that because I feel like AI is such a curse word when it comes to art right now.
Sure.
But the more I found and started crafting these scenes, the more I just started thinking over like what is making these locations nostalgic, and also kind of like the mindfuck of like looking at a place and having this deep, you know, nostalgia and like longing for it, but it's not real, which I think we're going to start encountering with AI a lot. So I kind of love that the scenes are specific to no one. They don't exist. And I feel like I really like the conundrum that gets your brain to start stewing on that, that it's not real. It's AI. I like that it's essentially an AI interpretation of a memory.
Yes. No, I'm not even going to step into that. That's beautiful. Like, that's the sound nugget. Like, that's it. Like, I love that. And as a certified prompt engineer, I completely understand exactly what you mean by taking the essence of something and regurgitating it and regenerating it into something new. I relate to this on so many levels for my job, but at the same time, I relate to it in this aspect of memory where you're literally taking, like, the feels of something that is very real and very humane, and you're telling AI to say, okay, replicate a little bit, enhance that a little bit, but wow. make it your own. And that is such a gift. Like, yes, we're using a machine to kind of carry out that duty, but that's still that originality, that initial prompt is coming and formulating from you. And that is a form of art that is very taboo or controversial, as you mentioned, right now. I would love to hear everyone else's responses on this. Priscilla, what are your thoughts on this? This is AI. This is like, uh-oh.
I know Danielle's trying to school me on this AI stuff. I just don't know how to do it. Draw me. Yeah, I use it more so like, you know, with the writing things. But I was just like, you know, so I kind of probably looked like I was gazed off, but that's because I was just getting lost looking at the things. And I loved it because, you know, it reminds me, and I was trying to think of how to remind me to work words. I need AI to tell me what it is that I'm trying to say. But it kind of almost reminds me of, I immediately was thinking of looking at something through, like, remember they used to have the laundry, the sheets hanging on the outside, and it's almost looking through because there's a little bit of that filter thing that I like. And I like that the lens of the, you know, there was one here in particular that I was looking at that it just made me feel it's very dreamlike. I love it, you know, and it does feel like, I'm like, I've never lived in any places like these, but it has such a, you know, just a warmth to it. And there is a slight eerie to it. Eerie, yeah, right? But you know what I love? What I love is I was looking at your Etsy shop, and I'm like, a copywriter was my initial thing. I'm loving your titles of your stuff. Did you just randomly, are you just sitting there going, let's see, drinking and just kind of coming up with, yeah, equally supportive. Okay, that's it. Or how did you come up with the titles for what you're going to call your products?
That it happens as I'm making them. I'm big on listening to podcasts, yeah, documentary stuff. Like you were saying earlier, the whole like getting cheese ball, but like painting really is my time. You know, like sit down, like try to listen to things as far as like, I'm interested in stuff. I'm listening to stuff that's just like, it's not self-improvement. It's for fun. But, you know, I'm listening to stuff that's like maybe trying to be a bit reflective on myself through some of these paintings. And honestly, I'll have like a thought, or there'll be a word or phrase that seems to kind of like correlate with either kind of what I'm going through at the time, maybe what the memory represents to me. This one back here is my own here, I think. When you and it are aligned, that's it. So when you and it are aligned, it was kind of the, I was listening to a podcast that was essentially talking about understanding that, like, maybe in the spirituality sense, that maybe there is kind of like a universal plan for you or a universal purpose that, you know, like life is constantly throwing things at you that are maybe getting you to see it. And you do hit these moments where maybe in your gut and your heart, you actually feel aligned with that purpose. You something strikes a nerve a little bit and you're like, I'm aligned with that. I see it right now. And just like these kind of like moments of like inspiration that just kind of appear and you feel very aligned with that purpose. And I feel like some of them I kind of have locked and loaded and I have the painting ready to go. Some of them kind of happen as I'm doing the painting. I don't see myself as a good copywriter or anything at all. So thank you. I appreciate that. I take my time on my title. So
amazing.
Oh, wow. I love this because again, the beauty of AI, right? The beauty of technology is kind of leaning on this expertise that we technically did not have at our fingertips, as accessible to our fingertips before, that we now have, right? And being inspired by the things around us. Like, true creativity is a reflection of the inspiration around us. And I just feel like we are doing that in so many different ways now. And looking at the pieces that you've created is really kind of, you know, it's inspiring, obviously, for me. We're going to use that word quite a bit, I guess, today. It's inspiring to me, but it's also very encouraging that where we feel like one place ends, something else can begin. And that is something that we are consistently seeing in the ebb and flows of so many people in the tech and creative industries, that when one thing ends or another opportunity ends, when one place ends, another opportunity begins. So that's really kind of what I feel like your work really kind of embodies, is like the spirit or the essence of creativity and where you can take that just by playing around with some oil paint and AI. Who would have thought? But you keep that in mind too. You need that, like, as much as there is this beautiful thing around AI and technology, still keep in mind that human touch point. And Sydney, you're the human that's touching all these points, that's making everything work. So that's something too to keep in mind for people out there who are, you know, maybe thinking, AI is going to take my job, or, you know, all the things we talk about that have a negative connotation around AI. Think about that human touch point on any part of this process. If any of this fails, a human is going to have to interject and continue this path. And I feel like what you have done, Sydney, is you kind of let AI do its thing, but then you picked it up and said, I can add more. I can do more. I can produce a little bit more of a human touch to this product or this project. So yeah, that's just so wicked. I love this so much.
No, oh my gosh, you're saying everything that's just having me light up.
Yes. I'm a white, like, lighter.
Yes, there's so many, like, just pieces of stuff, and it's hard to, like, concisely get all out, but you're so right. Like, so much of speaking to, like, them being, like, these AI images, I love so much that you said earlier that they look a little bit creepy, because I'm like, yes, that's exactly, I want them to be, like, nostalgic, but I really want in most of them to be, like, something's off. And, like, I want a, like, because what I love about when I started seeing these AI images come out is, like, you see it at first and you're like, oh my gosh, that looks like a photo, that's real. And then you notice something that's off, that kind of, like, uncanny valley. And once you notice that, the whole thing starts to unravel. Like, have you guys ever had a dream where you notice something's off in a dream and, like, you wake yourself up, essentially, like, out of the dream? Yes. Like, kind of annoyed by it. And then you're just like, ugh. Like, you look down at your hands and you're like, I have four fingers, you know, or something like that. And I think the AI images are like that. And I love being able to include that in them. And exactly, like, AI is like a good tool right now, for especially the intermediary part that it's at right now. Mm-hmm. There's a level of creepiness that I think is awesome in art. And I really like that being in these paintings, because I really like it being like, I like that initially it's a sense of nostalgia and longing, and then realizing, like, this isn't a real place, where if we're going to go a little bit deeper, this might be a cynical thought on nostalgia, but, like, when you long for the past to that level, sometimes you need to be reminded that you're not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the future to work on. It built you, it shaped who you are now, but, like, you're not there anymore. And sometimes there can be a danger in longing for it so much you get stuck there.
Oh man, that was like so deeply awesome. Okay, y'all, I'm feeling hot flashes. I might be sweating here in a minute. Like,
when you were saying this, I was thinking of it almost. You know, I don't really talk that much about AI because I'm not as deep into it as Danielle is and stuff. But it was almost making me feel like, because I'm an analogy person, so I can give analogies out.
Yes. It's
almost like you have to look at it like, you know, how like makeup accentuates, you know, like mascara. Mm-hmm. This is like your mascara, your highlighter or whatever.
Yeah,
like
that. I always have it, but yep.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and I mean, but I like it because like I'm looking at, I don't know which one I'm looking at, but the one, I don't know the name of it. I have to go to Etsy to figure out what the name of it is.
I might not remember right now either, so you're good.
This one, I'm like really, I keep going back to it. Oh, it's Inheritance. Inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one with the, yeah, you know, it's the one, like that one right there.
You guys can't see that it's over there.
It is over there, right there. I saw that on the right. And it's nice though, because as a, you know, storyteller person, I like it because I'm always kind of like, you know, like at the airport looking at people and go, what's their story? You know, and I'm looking in here and I'm like, I look at it and it's kind of like, I can kind of see kind of a cloud, but it's not a cloud, it's a pound. And it does, like, I will go back to the dream thing, but it's so wonderful because it does make you do, if you give it time, well, maybe not even time, if you give it 2 seconds, you think, you know, it makes you think a whole lot more. Like I'm thinking about, you know, inherit, and then I see it's inheritance, and it's like you could go on and on, and I'm like, I want to look in closer and I want to see, is there somebody in there? And then I don't want to see if there's somebody, then I don't want to see somebody. But I mean, I was wondering, like, when you're doing these stuff and you are, some of it is nostalgic, what type of you know, like, does it build up? Like, do you get emotional when you're painting, or do you kind of go into like a thing, or when you bring in AI, does it make you, what does it do for you? Like physically inside, you know, you, like, what does it expose all sorts of things, or?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I get really emotional really quick.
Yeah. I mean, but you're sitting there. I mean, am I going to imagine Sydney sitting there with the, you know, paint. You like that type of thing, or is it, you know, like a mom seeing the baby, like you see your baby walk for the first time or something like that, you're like, oh my god, yes.
Well, like it, ideation, I do have moments that some of these are very deeply meaningful to me, like in ways I can go off about, and then I'm gonna be honest, there's times where I'm very frustrated, I'm just ready to wrap it up, and I'm ready to I'm frustrated a certain part, I'm like, I'm ready to just bury this in the backyard or something like that. But, you know, like, but there are some like, and then, you know, I'm just looking at dumb stuff on YouTube while I'm painting. So it's not all like this, but you know, the moments that are very like, some of these, like, you're right. Cause when it taps into nostalgia, that always digs up some emotion. Definitely. And a lot of these are definitely, definitely coming from thinking about, you know, family members. I think that a huge one is thinking back now that you're an adult and reflecting on the other adults in your life who raised you, like grandparents, parents, and, you know, getting the whole like mindset that you're a tapestry, fabric, a whole little, you know, but you're literally a tapestry made from like kind of who shaped you. That's not like directly that, but there were people that came before you in, you know, in this life that kind of laid the groundwork of the life you were born into. And, you know, looking back on them and their experiences, that's always something that really digs up emotions in me personally when I'm working on this. Cause I'm trying to kind of dig into like, not just my experiences, but the experiences of, you know, all those that came before me.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's so funny because it's almost echoing very much of similar things that I say often. We are the dreams of other people's stargazes, right? We're the reality of other people's stargazes. And that's really important for, you know, heritage resemblance to continue carrying on, to continue wading in waters, things along those lines. All that nostalgia, you know, somehow gets transferred, gets reinvented, becomes something else entirely, but it still is rooted back to this sentiment of, you know, I'm inspired to do something because this evokes something within myself. And that hardwiring that we are, that all of us have as humans, becomes more and more relatable when we see artwork like this, right? That kind of tilts the perspective of this feels good, but we know it's not, you know, 110% ours, but somehow it becomes everybody's because everyone is starting to have those similar warm, it evokes the same emotions. So I just feel like that's so incredibly powerful.
Thank you. Something I've been amazed by whenever I started getting attention on TikTok, I was very amazed by the people that related to the scenes that are not from anywhere near where I was raised. Because like my memory, it's like, there were some comments about people in like, you know, like areas of Europe that some of these scenes to me feel very specific to like Southern Illinois. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Southern Illinois, like rural, like a farming family, you know? And then, so I'm very amazed by some of these scenes looking so relatable to it in ways that I would never think. And it's really making me think like, yeah, they're all just kind of like of a certain era, like the 80s, 90s, which yes. might be a little bit of a key there.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the 70s feels. I mean, I love Silent Guidance. That one is one of my, the constant comment that I see over and over again on TikTok and on Instagram is, that's my grandmother's house. That's my grandmother's kitchen. That's all those type of nostalgic feels, but it's not because it's not anybody's kitchen, right?
Yeah.
That's the cool kind of eerie thing that like, this kind of reminds me of so much, but it's such a conversational starter. When you started getting more and more popular, when you started becoming really viral on TikTok, let me just say that out loud. She's viral, y'all. Like, if y'all didn't know already, like, look at this feed. It's insane. I love the fact that people are becoming more and more aware of the connections between art, humanity, and in AI in general, how we can combine those elements a little bit more. Are you having other cool, deeper discussions around how this can be beneficial for others? Or are you just kind of like, this is it, I'm in my niche, leave me be?
I've thought a lot that like, I'm really bad at like showing myself. I like showing like the process videos, all that. I've thought a little bit about like, I floated the idea of like a video of more like talking, because that's kind of maybe a 2024 resolution, is getting a little bit more of like what this is, which thank you for the first time to really talk deeply about this. But yeah, it's a good conversation that I would like to see spark in other people. It's tough for me to like get my points across succinctly, but exactly, I would love for more people to just kind of contemplate this and contemplate how they interpret it. I would love to see more interpretations of this of this concept, honestly.
Yeah, this is like total fire. Like every time that I see it, I'm like, oh wow, this is, feels good. But then like the technical aspects makes it even so like that much more cooler. If it comes to you, it means something, which also was a personal like, ooh, like moment for me. Seeing so much of the fabric itself covered in art, but then also seeing like something pull out of it, like the vision for that was just absolutely stunning. And I love the concept, right? Behind it. And the name obviously also makes it even more intriguing. So I'm just like, there's just layers upon layers of contextual warmth, both in the things that are titled, in the colors, in the way that you are using patterns and fabrics to kind of intertwine and talk to each other. That is such a cool aspect. So my question is there a part in your journey that has triggered a deep level of nostalgia? And then how has that shaped your journey trending now as a social media artisan?
You mean just kind of like today, like looking back to maybe a specific time?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, like a lot. Like I said, a lot specifically, if I'm understanding your question right, it's a lot specifically around childhood, a lot specifically about, I'm going to focus in mostly on like the women in my life, a lot of the influences I've had, like what shaped them? And then how did that shape me? And then moving forward, how do I help shape and go out like that? And specifically, when it comes to you, it means something. That one, I think that's the one that really got the most attention right off the bat. And I had that one like locked and loaded, just trying to get the right setting down. I was thinking specifically of like the first house my parents had, I lived in until I was like 4 years old or so. And like, I'm just going through one of those moments right now where I'm like, damn, I'm older than my mom was when she had me. Oh shit, I don't feel like I, you know what I mean? You're like, this puts it into perspective. Now that I'm like, you look at your mindset and then it really hits you, like your parents really are just people. We all know that, but it hits you more and more. And that one specifically was very specific to my childhood up to that point. And I was really going through a piece of like, I do have this whole reinvigorated spiritual sense of like, when something happens in your life, I really sometimes think it might be a catalyst for like moving forward, for you to like overcome something, for you to learn something. Like when you're faced with like a certain person or whatever, and it's maybe triggering something in you to change, that has a purpose. Like the things that have happened in life up to now, a lot of them maybe have a purpose in shaping you. So that's definitely surrounding that one specifically.
Oh, I relate to this so much on so many levels. I know you do too, Priscilla. We are definitely kind of in the space where I feel like a lot of women in tech, especially, we are a force always reckoned to be with, either in the work, on the floor, in the office, amongst each other in co-working spaces, you know, wherever we are, I feel like we're always being tested in some areas. And knowing that we can get to the other side of that test, or the other side of that hill, or whatever mountain that we're facing, whatever that is, we know that we can do it because we have done it before. We're women. Like, we've gone through some of the most horrific atrocities in history, and we're surviving. We're here. We're flourishing. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, where I've come from or where we've come from is also the embodiment and a little bit of the battle plan to get us through tomorrow. And I love the fact that constantly looking at your artwork as a reflection of that, a reflection of your personal testament too, even though it's technically not your specific memory, but there's pieces of you embedded in that process. And that continues to echo in whatever way possible so that pieces of you are out there. And I think that's super cool. I just love that you say that. That's very powerful. Thank you.
Thank you. You said there's something else I was thinking specifically with nostalgia. When it comes to like these like moments you overcome, stuff like that. I think another big point of looking back in nostalgia as well is like this. Okay, I have a painting that was called The Enemy of History. And this is probably my most cynical look on nostalgia, because like I was at that time being like, sometimes nostalgia is the enemy of history, because you might be seeing it with rose-colored glasses to the point you forget what you had to overcome. You forget that it wasn't all sunshine and, you know, greatness. So that was a very cynical look on it. And it's like, no, we're like a whole yin yang of the good and bad that all happened. But, you know, there are points to be like, yeah, you got to overcome things. You had to overcome them then. You're going to have to overcome them in the future. I really like what you said about like, you got to have a game plan about what's coming your way the next day, because it's not stopping.
Yeah, it's not. And I love that. And I could definitely tell that was a very controversial piece. I feel like a lot of people took that in much different ways. When I first saw it, I was like, damn. Like, I just kind of looked at it. I was like, wow. Like, first off, like the way, and I love the making of the video and like how you went about it and the process of what you put together, but like the way that the pictures are, the portraits, the level of detail that you gave the detail, right? That part, it was just kind of like, what is the story behind this? Like, can you give us more description? The Enemy of History was good. Like, girl, that was on fire. Okay. Thank you. That's one of my favorite pieces personally. It is. I'm just curious. I just want to pick your brain. Like, what, when you were painting this, you were like, yeah, that looks about right, and you didn't think anything of it? Or it was more of a, ooh, but we need to add this, or maybe I should paint it this way. Was there any kind of counterintuitive thought?
Yeah, this is one that like sometimes I am a little bit like, I'm halfway through the painting and I'm like, I don't know what's going here. I know like a general idea. I'm kind of bad about like, I'll just wait for the inspiration to hit me. And if it doesn't hit me, then I'm kind of screwed. But like, I, you know, that one definitely, I knew it was going to be called The Enemy of History. I was thinking through a lot of just kind of like not great family stuff. Like, it's all the good stuff as well. And then, you know, there's always stuff too that's like, you look back with such fondness and then you start remembering, oh, but this, 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 and this, you know, it goes with the whole like you don't want to live there, you know, kind of like remember the
trials
at that time. You don't want to live in the past. So it was pretty cynical. I know that whenever I said, explained in the comments that like, I kind of see nostalgia as an enemy of history. It's like, yeah, that's pretty cynical. That's like not the only way I feel. But as I was doing it, I knew the kind of vibe I wanted. I knew specifically thinking of kind of like my own memories of the past, kind of like what in myself kind of triggered these thoughts in the whole ideation. And I'm going to be honest, as I added some of the photos, some of the things on the wall are very specific to my growing up and like my Southern Illinois area. And I like to also get, you know, I don't really do figures that much, but you know, I wanted a family photo and kind of like a smiling, happy family photo. And honestly, Midjourney just screwed up the woman's face and it did that.
That level of detail was like, was that intentional? Like, how did that?
I don't do that big of an AI screw up in all of them. Some of them are a little bit like, I know, like my favorite are like when you look at an item on a table and you're like, what even is that? I can't even, I know what it might be, but you start really looking at it. You're like, I don't even know what that is.
Right.
Is that a canister? I really like those. This is the most biggest like AI screw up was her face. Cause I really, really was like, ooh, I kind of like the way that looks. And then the fact it was specifically only the woman.
Yes.
A little bit like that is very, huh. I'm going to be honest. I left it in because I was also thinking a little bit to the women in my life and maybe how much I see them commit to others at the sacrifice of themselves.
Erasure.
I will go ahead and like, say this is specifically around a certain grandmother I had, my grandma. You entered her living room and like she had on the walls all the grandkids, like all of us. There are a lot. Like, and she had a picture of everyone. And like she would sit you down and she would say who is this and what they're doing, and very proud, specifically just a house full of like family, grandkids, pride for everyone else. I truly don't think there was a picture of her. I don't think on the walls there was a picture of her, you know, like, and you look at her life and it really was so much of giving to other people at the sacrifice sometimes of herself as an individual. That's really cynical too. Cause I know,
yes.
I know her, she was an individual. She was, but like, it just made me think over that expectation of women a little bit is why I left that in.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. And how many times, myself included, do we put ourselves in this place of erasure, right? Where we erase ourselves from moments that were just as powerful and important for us to be a part of, but we took ourselves out. And I just think that's so, as soon as I saw that particular piece, I was just like, wow, I was so buzzing. That was so powerful and very emotionally evoking. And clearly in the comments and the millions of people that have seen these TikTok reels and videos and the artwork, they get it too. And so it's so amazing to see that this audience, this fan base that's following you is constantly hungry for the next thought, the next evoking emotion, the next level of warmth that you could possibly provide through your work. How does that feel to kind of be responsible for that?
Weird, I'm not gonna lie. Like, whenever I started getting attention, all that, I mean, like, obviously that's all I wanted. I'm like, I don't know how to respond to this sometimes because I'm so overwhelmed by people saying like that means a lot to me, because like I have my artists that I'm gonna like, oh, I want to tell you. You know what? I have my artists that I'm like, and the fact that some of the people in these comments, I'm like a little bit like short, because I'm like, that means so much to me that this artwork made a connection to you. I genuinely don't know what to say, because that's what I want. I can't define, underline enough that like that really means the world to me, that like somebody made a connection with it and it got their own brain going. That's the spark I'm trying to give. It's like, you know, everybody else's brain going.
I felt it, Sydney. I felt it. Oh my goodness. I felt it. Okay, Priscilla, I know I've talked too much.
Right. Yeah, I was like sitting here taking my notes and everything, but I was going through and reading. I'm one of those people that I am not on TikTok anymore. So, but you know, I would get on it for you. I would get back on it for you. Yeah. But no, I'm just like reading everybody's stuff and it's so wonderful. We would say that a lot of these things that we've been doing, the podcasts like last year, they'd build upon each other and then we'd be able to go there. And I was like thinking about the launching of all the emotions that it makes you, you know, feel and stuff, you know, yeah. And it's just, and I think it is just beautiful. Like how, you know, sometimes like art is very interpretive, but some your stuff, I mean, there's so many interpretations. I mean, it just really is. And it's not just, and it's also makes you kind of wish some of these things. I'm like, oh, it's nostalgic. I wish I had that memory, you know, or something. It makes me kind of think that. I mean, but you know, I'm just kind of looking at the little details because I'm actually on Etsy right now, scrolling through and stuff. Yeah. I was saying it was so funny though, because last night I couldn't go to sleep, right? And I was feeling a little whatever. And so I didn't want to do anything else. And you know, I can't do anything. So I was like, I sat and I did my painting, my paint by numbers. I did the sky last night, so the pink sky and stuff. And so when you were talking earlier about like, you know, just painting and crying and like that, it was like, that's usually not my first thing to do, but I just find it kind of eerie, you know, happen that I just decided I was going to do that and feeling that emotion, you know, and I actually was taking myself out of it and just kind of being very detailed, which is funny because you were talking about the detail, but then there is so much detail. So, you know, when, you know, we didn't really talk about like, is this part of your self-care, like for you to do it, even though it's something you love, or, you know, did it start out like, when you were younger, did you think that you wanted to be, you know, do this? I mean, and is it all kind of, I know some people, creative people, it's like kind of all in one, like there's a form of it that we wanted to be that when we were younger. And then we just, you know, it ends up being part of the self-care. And that's a really large question, but there's just one sentence. So that's what my question is, just one sentence, but it's really not.
Yeah. all that. Yes. Yes. No, this is totally what I use for self-care. Cause exactly like you saw, it's like, there's something about sitting down, make yourself paint that like, you know, when it's just kind of like you and your thoughts, like it's almost like a meditation kind of a thing. It's almost kind of like repetitive. You're thinking through the pieces of doing it, but it really makes you almost like stuck in like your own thoughts there for a minute. And mm-hmm. I do see it as a form of self-care. I also am big on walks. I'm big on walks mm-hmm. and just taking that time to, yeah. Cause like, I like going and I like being like, well, it's just me and my thoughts. I have to, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes we need that a little bit. So
yes,
I think that's always so good. But also with childhood too, I lucked out where I honestly was always into arts and crafts and painting. Like I lucked out with that. I feel like sometimes some people like are still like, you know, trying to talk through and find their thing. And like, there's some things like that I still kind of need to work through and stuff. If I'm being honest, like I lost it for a while and I finally got back to painting. It was COVID, honestly, because I was working from home and I was like, I'm going to sit down and like really take the time to learn oil painting. But luckily, ever since I was a kid, like some of my first memories are like, I would get pumped during craft time with Barney. Like, I don't know if you remember the craft time. I'd be like, yup, here we go. And like, luckily I have memories from like being very small, being like, I just want to like raid a craft box, make a mess.
Are we going to see a Barney painting?
I don't know, honestly.
Well, if you ever feel like dedicating anything to us, you can use nostalgia as the word, like somewhere in the title. We'll know where it came from between you and I. Like, we'll know deep down.
I'd like to see the reaction of the audience to just Barney. So.
Right. I mean, you should totally do it. I know that you could probably poll your entire fan base and be like, okay, y'all, what do you want to see next? Like, what do you want to see come up somewhere? What a recurring theme could I possibly do? I personally would say, like, show me a fair. Show me a car, like something that's kind of old school nostalgic, but still kind of creepy and could have a lot of levels of detail of dimension, right? Like, I love stuff like that. Of course, here I am, sci-fi horror fan right here. I'll be here all day.
Oh, you were talking about a fair. I immediately was going, hospital. You know, like, you know, like the...
That could be a thing. Favorite thing that you've done in your career, though? What are you most proud of?
Oh, gosh. Guys, if I'm being honest, I'm really fresh to this. And I'm a little bit like, I am trying to figure out art stuff as far as painting. As you can see, they're all here. They're all still here with me. I am going to, so the Peoria Art Guild up in Peoria, Illinois, has offered me like my own exhibition. And I'm like, I never saw something like that happening. So luckily, March 1st in Peoria, Illinois, if you're going to be around that area, they're going to be there for a month, but the opening is March 1st and they're actually going to be together. And so that is exciting. And because I would love for people to be able to see them in the same space. So I am excited for that.
Oh my gosh. If I had known, like, we're going to have to make a road trip or somewhere in March. So it's kind of like, yeah, we could make a day trip. We could do it. That's doable. Yeah.
Please come. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
We're already on our t-shirts.
Oh man, no, we can make.
We're swishies.
Yeah. I was about to say, oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm a swishy. We're going to start doing some swag for you.
Oh my gosh. We could design some swish swag. Like for real, show up in our leather jackets and our vintage t-shirt and be like, we're with the crew. We're with the swish crew. We're swishers.
I would be overwhelmed that we're swishers.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so for people who have no idea how to find you, which is insane because you're everywhere, but for people who want to know and follow you more, to kind of follow your story and follow all the amazing art, where can they find you?
They can find me on TikTok and Instagram. I'm just at Sid Swisher on both of those. And hopefully on TikTok, posting a little bit more, actually talking about stuff. So you guys might need to hold me to that or something. I need to actually get a little bit more of myself talking through that. But that'll mostly probably be on TikTok at Sid Swisher. And then Etsy is also just Sydney Switzer. And website is just sydneyswisher.com.
Oh my goodness, I love it. I love it. Please follow her. Do all the things. Again, I've been a fangirl for a long time, and it's so cool that I actually get to see this come to reality. Someone who is embodying the beauty of tech and art, and really finding a way to find a voice between the two of it and echoing it for other people to find you. And I think that is absolutely beautiful. Breathtaking. Don't cry. Okay, collect yourself.
That's my favorite part. Okay, So Swishy, if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be? And obviously, what would your superhero name be?
Oh, I gotta get a name and a power. Okay. Let's see. Dude, I wanna fly. I'm gonna be honest. I just wanna fly. I know that like when they say invisibility, it's like, oh, to like rob a bank or do something, that'd be cool. I just wanna fly. And then I don't know what the name would be, something about Swisher, maybe just Swishy.
There we go.
Yeah. So, what's your go-to karaoke song?
And would you
sing it? Would you do it for us right now or no?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I can do it.
If we go to you, you're going to have to.
I'm not going to sing this because I need like 5 to 6 Moscow Mules, and then I will sing this. But it is Helena by MCR. So any of my other emo kids.
So when we come up to you in March with some mules and wear t-shirts, it will be very disappointing if you don't break into song.
If you corner me and you have Moscow Mules, yeah, I'll be your artist. I'll pull it out. So
hey, when I commit, I commit. So okay, so if you were going to survive a zombie apocalypse, what 3 items would you grab from your home before you make a run for it? Oh, before you make a fly for it, before you fly away.
Are these items supposed to help me survive, or I just like...
Whatever you want. I mean, hey, it's like, here comes the zombies, Swishy. Grab 3 things and go.
I'm going to grab my dogs. I'm going to grab Simon and Pip, and hopefully they can like hunt squirrels to keep me alive or something. I don't know. Hopefully they can do something like that. We don't really have weapons, so I guess I'm gonna grab like a knife or a baseball bat or something like that. Guess I just exposed my house is not the zombie-proof house. And then I keep thinking of just bringing food. So I'm probably going to be moving too fast to think of anything specific.
Well, you can fly, so you can come back.
Oh, yeah. If I can fly, then there you go. I'm going to have the dogs. I'm going to have a singular, like, little souvenir bat. And I'm going to have, like, and I'm probably going to have some chips. So yeah. Sadly, I don't know how long I'm making it, but I can fly, yeah. So.
So can you share an embarrassing moment from your past that you can laugh about now?
Oh my gosh, let me think. Okay, actually, this is funny. So I was just thinking, one of your questions that I read was like, what did you exactly want to be when you grow up? And I thought immediately, because I have this memory from childhood, is like, I don't know what Animal Planet did to children, but it had a lot of children convinced that like, I can be a marine biologist or like, you know, stuff like that. No, I specifically watched a show where this woman had like snow leopard little like kittens, and they kept calling her a surrogate mom. And she's like, oh, she's the surrogate mom. She's the surrogate mom for the snow leopard babies. So I wrote down on all of this stuff in school, and I told adults face to face, they're like, what do you want to be? And I would just say a surrogate mom. I would just say a surrogate mom. But like, it wasn't followed by like for snow leopard babies. They just thought I was going to be like ultra generous. So that's something that.
Oh man, I'm laughing so hard right now.
Oh, that little Sydney. She's so sweet.
And they're just like, where'd you hear about that? That's kind of weird.
Animal Planet. Yeah.
I specifically remember one time my mom like actually went for snow leopard baby. She saw it on Animal Planet. Somebody was like, what are you talking about?
So if you were to have dinner with any historical figure, dead or alive, who are they going to be? And what's the one question you're going to ask them?
Oh, no. You're not going to give me 30 minutes to sit on this.
You want to get back to us and I'll skip on to the next question?
What kind of a person do I want to know? Like, what happened? What really happened? What kind of like a U.S. president? I feel like I want a really cool answer, but I can't have a cool answer on the spot. So I might have to get back with you guys on the
phone. We'll come back with you. So what's the weirdest or most unexpected item that's on your bucket list? And why did you put it there?
I'm trying to think of my bucket list because that's a little bit kind of like, it's like, yeah, like go to Japan, you know, go to Europe. I wonder what's pretty weird.
Surrogate mom.
Yeah, maybe. There you go. I think I might have a pretty stereotypical bucket list, but yeah. I can always let you guys know if I think of any of the weird ones. But yeah, I don't think there's any that are too out of the realm of like just travel, you know, yeah. Just kind of stuff like that. So,
and I think that's it for my flash questions.
Good questions. You got me on the spot. I gotta have the historical figure one down. Now that I think about it, I'm like, can I interview JFK after what went down? And then be like,
he said dead or alive.
Yeah. What do you think went down? What do we gotta know for 2024?
Right? Right. Because it feels like we're about to replicate some of that. Right, exactly. Like, oh my goodness. It's, yeah. crazy. You're right. Yes. Yes.
Yep. There you go.
Oh my gosh. These are great. Sydney, this has been such a magical moment for us. Thank you so much. You are such a light and your work is such a light and it continues to shine brighter and further than probably what you think. But for all of us who are following you or just now discovering you, I hope that you continue to do the good work that you're doing, the amazing work that you're doing. And I personally am just so glad that we got to cross paths in this way. So thank you for being a guest today.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for this. This was amazing. So thank you for hyping me up. This was such a great conversation. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Priscilla, you got any final words?
No, I'm excited like for my daughter when we get off here to show her this stuff because she's an artist. And she's into anime stuff, but I mean, this would be great to like, you know, she loves the details. You know, Danielle knows she's very detail oriented and stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe she might be inspired. And if she is, then I'll send it to you so you can see.
How old is she?
She's 11.
Dude, I think the anime eye phase is such a critical phase for a young artist. I feel like so many artists go through an anime phase and I'm like, yep. And for some, it's not a phase. It's like where you go. But I'm like, dude, I had an anime phase too. So
all right, y'all. Well, thanks for listening to the More Than Graphics podcast. Continue to subscribe and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate everyone continuing to, again, listen, follow us at mtgthepodcast.com, and to encourage you to be more than your ... So see you next time.
And just like that, the episode ends, but the convo has just begun.
Thanks for listening to the MTG podcast.
We want to hear from you. If you enjoyed our podcast, give it a review on your listening app of choice.
Continue to follow us across MTG socials. And look out for bonus content releases throughout the year. This podcast is produced by Octane Design Studio.